Hello, Kalani Park Church. I trust I find you well today. As most of you know, we've begun a new sermon series on the one another verses that are found in the New Testament of the Bible. If you've been using the handbook, you'll notice that we have about 60 one another verses for you to be able to study together in your one another groups. Today, I have recorded the message that was to be delivered on John 15, 12, entitled Love One Another, in order to be able to continue this sermon series. It's evident from the verses that are found in the back of the booklet and in the Bible. That one anothering is important to the Apostle Paul. He encourages the early faith communities to be imitators of God as beloved children by walking in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. In his letters to the churches he implanted, he basically gives them the instructions on how to live out this walking in love as Christ has loved us. And we see it in these statements: honor one another above yourself, live in harmony with one another, stop passing judgment on one another, accept one another just as Christ has accepted you, have equal concern for each other, be kind and compassionate to one another, do not lie to each other, encourage one another daily. Spur one another on to love and good deeds. You know, the Apostle Paul stressed unity and love as the hallmark of the body of Christ, the church, because these characteristics convey a sense of connectedness more deeply than just being individuals who share space. As Jesus' disciples, we belong to one another as one body. Though we are many members with unique gifts and talents, we read this in Romans 12, 4, verse 5. This is one another love. Well, today we turn our attention to John chapter 15, verse 12. And it's a very simple passage. It actually says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." See, Jesus not only talked about the importance of loving others, but also to live it. It's obvious he loved his parents. It's also obvious that he loved his disciples even when they denied him. There was love shown to the prostitute who was about to be stoned, and even the rich young ruler when he came to ask Jesus how he could inherit the earth. And Jesus said, "Go and sell everything, give it away, and come and follow me." And even in that, he didn't reject the rich young ruler, but really, you know, felt love for him, that this rich young ruler could not accept that. Well, in this verse that we're looking at today in John chapter 15, verse 12, he clearly commands his disciples to love one another. And I've always kind of wondered about that. So why is this important enough for Jesus to have stated this to his disciples? Well, in English, we really only have one word for love, which is love. But we have other words that we use that kind of communicate love. And so we say things like affection and kindness and I don't know. Those are some of the words that come to my mind immediately. However, in Greek, we do actually have four words which describe love, and it can be described as parental love or storge, brotherly love, which is phileo, erotic love, which is eros, and sacrificial love, which is agape, which most scholars all agree is what Jesus is talking about here, which is agape love. I think we've all recognized and have experienced storge love. We can also assume that The disciples probably developed a phileo love or brotherly love. And it's to be kind of expected, you know, even though they were all, you know, coming from different places, they spent time together for the last 3 years. They ate together. They witnessed Jesus's miracles together. They were part of those miracles with Jesus together. And so you would think that in time, they would probably have developed a strong sense of brotherly love, or another way you can describe that is a strong camaraderie. And yet Jesus commands his disciples to love one another, or to agape one another, which is to love sacrificially. And to help us to kind of understand this verse, I think we need to read the verses before, where Jesus is explaining to his disciples his role in God's redemption plan for the world. And so we have here in John chapter 15, 1 through 11, and he says this: "I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full." In Jewish theology, lineage and observance of the law was important to one's salvation and status in their community. It was always believed that because the Jews are God's chosen people, they would receive God's blessing of salvation first through the Messiah. This is how God would keep his covenant with the Israelites, by sending a Messiah who would overthrow the Roman Empire and reestablish the nation as in the days of David. There was no thought that God's covenant could and would extend to the Gentiles. However, as we know, the Jewish leaders rejected Jesus because he was not the servant king they envisioned. They expected a military leader, but this Jesus promoted love of the neighbor. And for the disciples, as they're thinking about the lineage from which they came from, the heritage that they were privileged to be a part of, and the observance of the law they have tried to keep, when they're thinking about this God's redemption plan, it did not include the Gentile community. And so for Jesus to go and say, to go and love your neighbor, and then to go say that as my disciples, you're going to love one another. Well, they were probably thinking to themselves, they really couldn't be friends with the Gentiles. Or could they? You see, God should have rejected his people and all creation because of our sin nature. But instead, because of his great love for all of his creation, he provided a way for all humanity to be redeemed, both Jew and Gentile. This is his mission. And so, in this verse, Jesus taught his disciples that if they wanted any part of him, they too must exhibit love, as he will soon do in his sacrifice. He uses the analogy of the vine to explain the new covenant relationships his disciples will have with him. He is the true vine, and that we are to be his branches. We are grafted in to this this promise of God's salvation and hope for eternal life. God, Jesus' lineage leads directly to God, his Father, and his disciples are his branches. And so the expected fruit is love. If not, that branch would wither, be thrown into the fire, and burned. The believer's fruit is not wine, but love of and towards one another. By following this command to love, the world will know his disciples. Essentially, then and now, we are Jesus' disciples if we have love for one another. In short, we love because God loved us first. Unfortunately, Jesus' disciples then and now have not always loved one another, allowing for differences of opinions, selfishness, and pride to create division within themselves. Society already understands and recognizes the impact of conflict, which have led to destructive world wars in our modern era and countless others fought in far-off regions of the world. We have these physical wars, but we also have philosophical conflicts and theological disagreements, because the challenge of loving one another is we actually love ourselves first. I really don't need to elaborate on this human reality, as there is enough messaging in the world that fosters this attitude. You know, we have this McDonald's sign that says, "You deserve it." It's all about you, is another message that we get. We have this Time expose on the me generation. It's all about me. In terms of our faith, faith has also become an individual affair. It's important to ensure that we do take care to love ourselves, but not at the expense of others, or we become self-absorbed, which is why Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, as someone lay down his life for his friends." This is the fruit of following Jesus' commandment, that we will be willing to love sacrificially for someone other than ourselves. You know, it's very easy to love sacrificially for someone we know or love. You know, in the context of prayer, Jesus recognizes this trait in people, exemplified in the Father in Luke chapter 11, verse 11 to 12. He says, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? As a father, I will give my daughter the best I can afford when she asks for something. And in the same way, God will give us the best when we go to him." However, the rubber hits the road when Jesus commands us to love our enemies, those who persecute us, those who tell lies about us, people who can't do anything for us. Or what about those who are different from us? Loving like God does is not easy. It takes tremendous sacrifice, patience, and mercy, like Pastor Nick talked about last Sunday. You know, God has been disappointed by his people a lot in the Old Testament, who rejected him for other false gods, but he never gave up on his people. He never abandoned us. The good news is that Jesus does not leave us with just the command to go and love one another, but he actually gives us that power, and he empowers us to do so through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23. It says that by the power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is firstly love, then joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In short, to even really experience or to give out the fruit of joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we need love. As we think about and reflect on this passage, such a simple passage, something that's perhaps easy to do, but maybe hard to follow, I would urge us to think about this, reflect on this passage in this way. Perhaps in order to love like God does, we begin by coming before God and saying, you know, maybe we confess that we have not loved as Jesus loved. Perhaps we seek God to help us to love him with all our heart and then our neighbor as ourselves. And lastly, we can ask God, who would you like us to show love today? Who is in need of knowing God's love today? And then have the courage and the obedience to follow through. Join me as I pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that we can have this ability to be able to share your message, to read your verses, and to allow this word to transform our lives. Father God, as we have admitted, it is sometimes easy to say to love one another and hard to do. And so we do need your Holy Spirit to come into us, to allow that transformation to take place in our heart first and then in our mind. Because Lord, we are sinful people. We are selfish people. The Lord, that we have this as part of our nature, to love ourselves first. And yet, Father, you instruct us to seek you, Lord, with all our heart, mind, and soul, to put you first in our lives, to love you with all of our heart, to have no idols, to have no other gods except you first in our life. And so, Lord, forgive me for the times that I have chosen to focus on loving myself first, instead of loving you and then loving my neighbor. Father, will you lead me today to who you desire for me to meet and connect with and to show love as they desire to know your love, Father God. Lord, we know that sometimes these could be difficult people. These might be difficult situations. But we ask, Lord, that you would give us your assurance, your peace of mind, even the words, Lord, to be able to communicate love to this person. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.